Okay, so this week is a double parasha for Zvi and Metzaira. And of course, when one thinks of Zvi and Metzaira, what comes to mind? Negoyim, Tzaras. And when a person thinks about Negoyim and Tzaras, what comes to mind? Why did Negoyim and Tzaras come? The truth is the Gemara says the seven Averis, but the Avera everyone's familiar with is the Avera of Lashon Hara. The Pasuk tells us in Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Gimel, where a person has a nega, he has to bring it to the kohen. V'ro'a kohen is a nega barabasa. The kohen sees the nega in a person's skin. V'seya b'nega afachovon, her hair turned white. Umari ha'nega, omak b'abesorah, it looks deeper, it looks a deep impression. Nega tzerasu, v'ro'ohu ha'kohen v'timi oisoi. The kohen sees him, and the kohen is metamehim. So we all know by negayim that if a person can have a nega, but as long as the kohen does not see it, and does not say tamei, he's not yet tamei. Yeah. The only way a person becomes Tomei is not by knowing that he has a nega, but by the kohen giving the psak that he's Tomei. And the same is true. Once the person is Tomei, the only way he becomes Tohor, if a kohen gives the psak and looks at the nega and says Tohor. But until a kohen examines him, he can know it's a nega, he can know the nega went away, his status does not change to Tomei or to Tohor until the kohen says those words, Tomei or Tohor. And of course, like everybody knows, the idea in Mefarshim moving down, the idea is that a person who speaks Lashon Hara, people tend to minimize Lashon Hara. What did I do? All I did was say a few words. What could words do? I didn't do anything wrong. It's okay. When I hurt somebody, I said a few words. So we show him Mida Keneged Mida. You want to know the power of words? We'll show you what the power of words are. Look at the Kayin. A person has a Nega. As soon as the Kayin says one word, Tomei, his whole life changes. He becomes Tomei. Chutz l'machane, outside of the mach, is to be locked up, stay away. Chutz l'machane, let his hair grow. Tehir is cold in the holding of Mitzayra. From what? From one word. Such is the power of words. Hopefully, when the Mitzayra is sitting chutz l'machane, he does a little hiruei tshuva. He does a little tshuva, and he begins to understand that words are very powerful. If his tshuva is accepted, what happens? He shows the nega again to the kohen. This time the kohen sees the nega, and the nega shrunk, the nega fades. It's a simony star. The kohen says that one special word, tohar, to leave the impression on the metzayra of the power of words. So powerful are words. One word of tomei makes him into metzayra, and one word of tohar changes and brings him back to being tohar, come back to the machane, and everything returns to the way it was. Such is the power of words. Chavetz Chaim says over a mashal, famous thought about Lashon Hara, and that is, the Gemara tells us that the emes, a person should have had two mouths. A person really should have been created with two mouths. One mouth for Torah and Tefillah, and one mouth for Divrei Chayil. How can you use the same mouth that you use for Divrei Chayil and use it for Torah and Tefillah? But the Gemara says that a person is in enough trouble watching one mouth. If he had two mouths, how much trouble a person would get himself into if he had two mouths. So one mouth is enough. But our job is to watch that one mouth and know how to use it, and use it for Divrei Torah and Tefillah. And not, chas v'shalom, to use it the wrong way for Lashon Hara and things that should be said. Chavetz Chaim says over, Zmoshul, there was once a world-famous chef, and he opened up a restaurant. And the restaurant, he prepares the best foods. He brings in all the exotic foods, and he has only the best helpers working in the kitchen. And far and wide, the fame of the restaurant is known. The famous chef, and the freshness of the food, and all the delicious food that comes in, and the atmosphere. And one day, a few dignitaries come to eat in the restaurant, and the chef is so proud of the food that he served, and the restaurant. He comes out after the meal and he says to the dignitary sitting by the table, so tell me, how did you enjoy the delicious food? How was the entree? How was the main dish? How was the dessert? How were the drinks? How was everything? And they tell him, it was almost good. Something was missing. And the chef is very insulted. After all, this is the finest restaurant in town. And he has only the best foods. And he's the best chef with the best helpers. How could something be missing? And he's so insulted. And he says to the dignitaries, can I give you a tour of the kitchen? Would you like to inspect the kitchen? let's take a tour of the kitchen and look around. And I'll show you, we only use the finest ingredients, the finest meats. We have the best people preparing in the kitchen. Impossible that something was off. It wasn't right. And they say, yes, we'll take a tour of the kitchen. And he leads them into the kitchen. It's spick and span, clean. Everything's in its proper place. And he shows them the meats and the dates it was delivered and where it comes from. And he has all his paperwork, his receipts. Everything is the way it should be. And the chef says, I can't understand how something was off, how it didn't taste well. And they're looking at the pots and the pans and the utensils used to cook the food. And suddenly one of the guests looks at the big pot used to cook the food and he sees there's some crust stuck to the bottom of the pot. There's some food stuck to the bottom of the pot. And he puts his finger inside and he scrapes off some food from around the pot. And he says to the chef, I think I found your problem. You see, look at the bottom of this pot that was used to cook the food. There's some residue that's stuck there. It probably was left over from yesterday. And because something was left stuck to the bottom of the pot, it affected what was cooked in it today. Says the Chofetz Chaim, the Nimshel is self-explanatory. We use our mouth. We use our mouth for Torah and Tefillah. Be careful, the mouth is clean. There's no residue stuck there from yesterday's Lashon Hara, from yesterday's Divrei Chayil, yesterday's words that shouldn't be said. Of course a person has to speak Divrei Chayil. We're human beings. People have need, we have to speak. But we have to know what we're allowed to speak, what we're not allowed to speak. Lashon Hara, we know we're not allowed to. As difficult as it is. But if you're using the same mouth for Torah and for Tefillah, it's not going to taste the same. It's going to be a little bit off. If the same mouth has some residue in it from the Lashon Hara that we just spoke, or from the lies or the words that a person just said, if there's the residue inside, the Torah might be the finest ingredients, the tefillah might be the finest ingredients with kavana, but the residue is there, somehow it affects it. Be careful. Let's clean out our mouths. The best way to clean out the mouth is not to have it become unclean in the first place. But be careful. The residue shouldn't be off when a person learns and davens, so his mouth should be pure. The Pasuk says a little bit later on in Perek Yud Gimel, Ahuvis Pasuk Tezvav, says the Pasuk, in Perek Yud Gimel, Viroha Kayin, the Kayin sees, Vine Chisisa Tzaras, it's called Basari. The Tzaras covers his entire flesh. The Tihar es Hanaga, if a person comes to the Kayin, and a person is covered from top to bottom, head to toe, with a nega, he's tohor. Kuloi hofach lavon. If he's entirely turned white, tohoru is tohor. Xeris hakosuf. It would seem against the logic. If he has a nega covering his whole body, he should be tamei. Yet says the pasuk, no. Kuloi hofach lavon. If he's all white, he's tohor. The Rama has a sefer, Toiras Ha'ilu. And in a sefer, he writes a fascinating insight into this pasuk. When a person turns entirely white, tohu, he becomes his tohu. And says the Ramah, when a person has a nega that does not cover the entire body, he has a nega on his hand, a nega on his body, the Torah makes a big deal of it. Run to the Kohen examines him. If it's a nega, out. Chutz l'machne, go sit by yourself. Chutz l'machne. The person is entirely white, he could stay in the machane. Says Ramah, the Torah doesn't want us to associate or to be together with one who's a Baal Lashon Hara. Therefore, when someone has a nega, a person can always cover it over. A person has a nega, put on his jacket, put on his coat, bundle himself up, put his hat down. The nega is not visible. So therefore, says the Torah, you have a nega. A person has a nega, show it to the Kayin. Because if you're not, a person could cover it over and fool others into thinking, ah, he's a big tzaddik. He's sitting here, he's a big tzaddik. Underneath, it could be in the goyim. And those people will associate with him and learn from his bad midos, learn from his bad ways. The Torah says, we don't want anybody learning from this Baal Lashon Hara. Nega, show it to the kohen. But a person who turns entirely white, says Ramah, he can't hide it. He can't hide it. He's white from top to bottom. It's obvious to all that something's not right. Something's wrong here. This person is white. It's kuloi hafach lovon. He entirely turned white from head to toe. Something's wrong here.
Gotta watch out.
Says the Ramah, tohoru. You know what tohoru says the Ramah? I correct, it's not posh pshat, but the Ramah says Tahor means the nega is Tahor, but the person is Tameh. Because somebody who turns entirely white doesn't happen to a tzaddik that turns entirely white. There's something there. That's why he's turned. The nega might be Tahor, but the person is Tameh. So he turned entirely white. There's no need to send that person chutz l'machaneh. There's no need to sell him, sit by yourself, because people will see that he's white, and they'll know on their own to separate from him, to stay away from him. Don't associate with the Baal Lashon Hara. Many times, you ever hear people talking, and you come, and it's a good shmooze, and you realize it's Lashon Hara, the Nisayon is great. We all have those Nisayonis, probably every day. We all have those Nisayonis. But we have to realize it. Don't associate with the Baal Lashon Hara, stay away. The person turns entirely white, that's the biggest warning sign that he has. Stay away. There's no need to send him chutz l'machaneh. But a person who has only a small nega has to be sent chutz l'machaneh, so he shouldn't fool others into thinking he's a tzaddik, and they'll learn and associate with him. But we have to learn and stay away from Baal Lashon Hara. The pasuk says at the end of Parshas Tazria in Perek Yud Gimel, pasuk Mem Vov, the pasuk tells us, "Kol yemei asher hanega bo yitma tamehu." All the days that he has a nega, he's tameh. As long as the mitzayir has a nega, he's tameh. Bodod yeshev mechutz ha-machaneh ma-shavoy. He has to sit alone outside the machaneh. Sounds very harsh. This mitzayirah has saras, he has one nega. A nega is very small, so it's a kadosh, a lentil bean. It's a small, small nega. Suddenly the kohen takes a look, tameh, out. He's sentenced to solitary confinement in a sense. Bodod yeshev, he has to sit chutz ha-machaneh ma-shavoy. So Rashi tells us, what's the rationale for this? What's the logic behind sending the mitzvah chutz l'machaneh? And Rashi tells us, Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Mem Vov, Bodod Yeshev, Shloyiyu Sha'ar Tameim Yoshvim Imoy. No other Tameim should sit with him. Even other mitzvah, even other people that have the Goyim Matzaras can't sit next to him. He has to be in his own Dalet Amos. V'omru Rabbi Seinu, Manishtana M'Sha'ar Tameim Lesha Bodod. Why is it different from all those, all others that are Tameh, he has to sit alone? Hayo v'hu hivdeo b'loshen hara, Ben Ishra Ishtoi, Ben Ishra Re'eu, Af Hu Yibadil. Mida Kinega Mida. What did he do with Lashon Hara? He caused friction between people. Between a husband and a wife. Between two friends. His Lashon Hara separated them. Mida Kinega Mida. He separated them. He's separate. Chutz l'machaneh, we send him outside of the machaneh. And like the well-known story, in the times of Yisrael Salanta, there was a Magefa plague in the town. And of course, when there's a plague, everybody panics, and you have those outstanding people who try to help, and somehow, Klal Yisrael is an Am Kishei Oirif. We're stubborn. We have a tendency, when something bad happens, we like to darshan, and give reasons why it happened. Mm-hmm. It's Yenim's fault, he did this, it's his fault. We like to give reasons why things happen. So there was a Magefa. So somebody came to Mr. Osant, and he said to him, Rebbe, I figured it out! You know why there was a Magefa? Because of what Yenim did. I think it's your job to go give him Musa. Go give him Musa. Yenim. Go give Yenim Musa. The Magefa. Because that terrible, terrible avwa that Yenim did. Yisrael Salanta said to him, let me ask you a question. Why does the Torah send the Mitzayir Chutz L'machaneh? Bodod Yeshev, Mechutz L'machaneh Moshavai. The Mitzayir is sent to sit by himself. Why? Because the Mitzayir is sitting at home. Why does he have to go Chutz L'machaneh? If the Mitzayir stays together with people, he'll never realize that anything is his fault. His tendency, someone who speaks Lashon Hara, his tendency is to blame Yenim. As long as he's together with people, he'll look around, Yenim's fault, his fault, that one's fault. Me? I'm just innocent. It's everybody else's fault. So he said the Mitzayir chutz l'machaneh, let him sit solitary, alone. A person sits alone, he has time to think. A person's alone, when a person thinks, Mitzvah won't have Yenim to blame, Yenim to point out, but he'll realize that it's all within him, it's all his fault. So we send the Mitzvah chutz l'machaneh, so the Mitzvah should have time to reflect upon his tzaras, upon what he did, and realize that he did the avra by speaking Lashon Hara. So the Mitzvah Salanta said to him, when there's a magefa, you can't go around blaming people and saying it's Yenim's fault, it's his fault. Everybody has to look at themselves and see what could I improve on, what could I do better. In 1948, in the War of Independence, in the war of 1948, somebody came to the Briska Rav, and a similar story, and he said to the Briska Rav, You know why all these tzaras are happening to the Yidden here in Eretz Yisrael? Because of Chilul Shabbos. There's so much Chilul Shabbos here in Eretz Yisrael, that's why all the tzaras are happening. The Brisker Rav told them back the following. The Brisker Rav said, in Sefer Yoyna, Yoyna Kippur, Mafta Yoyna, in Sefer Yoyna, what happened? Who was on the boat with Yoyna?
The
Goyim, sailors. They were of the Avodah Zorah. They all served their own gods. They made a guy, see who was guilty. They're all of the Avodah Zorah. Yet what happens when the wind comes and wants to sink the ship? In Perik Aleph, Pasuk Yud Beis, what does Yoyna say? Yoyna says, Yoydei ani ki b'sheli hasar hagodol hazeh. This big storm, this wind, is because of me. Says the Brisker Rav, look at Yoyna. He was surrounded with Goyim, of the Avodah Zorah. And yet when the Shas Sakon, when the danger came, Yoyna didn't say, it's that guy's fault, it's that guy's fault. He said, it's because of me. Even though they were over the Avodah Zorah. So the Brisker Rav, it doesn't matter who you're surrounded by. Mechal, Shabbos, people do Avodah. When a Sakana, an Eis Tzara happens, the reaction has to be, what can I do to improve? It's because of me. There's something that I have to improve on, something I can do. It's Yenim's fault, it's his fault. It's always easy to blame the other person when something doesn't work out and a Sakana develops. The truth is, we have to look at ourselves. How can I improve? Chas v'shalom, hear something bad happen. Again, the tendency is everybody has why, who. The real answer is, I don't know why it happened. We're not in the VM. But I know it's a message that I should improve. And let me work on something that I could improve, something I could do a little bit better. Instead of blaming something else. The Metzayir's tendency is to blame others, speak bad about others. Chutzal machana, learn a lesson. That's a lesson for us all to learn. Whenever it comes to Lashon Hara, everybody likes a good story, how Lashon Hara gets out of hand, and it mushrooms. So I saw a story today. Maybe you heard it already, I never heard the story before, but a story that happened. There was a certain Rav who traveled from Eretz Yisrael to Argentina to collect money for his yeshiva. And he came to Argentina, and Shabbos morning he spoke in the shul. And he spoke very well. A very good speaker, he spoke very well. And he had the Olam listening to him, and he saw that he had their attention, and he felt that he would do very well collecting. And he spoke, and he spoke, and they came over with Yashikai, and he felt that he accomplished a lot. Then he asked him to speak again by Shalosh Shuvos. On the schedule, he was supposed to speak again by Shalosh Shuvos. And Shalosh Shuvos, he was going to make his final appeal, and try to raise the actual funds that he needs. He starts speaking to Shalosh Shuvos, and he sees people staring at him. Giving him looks. He's getting real angry looks. Like they say, dirty looks in English. People looking at him. And he realized something changed between the time he spoke in the morning and the time he's speaking now in Shalosh Shuvos. He's very puzzled. It gets to a point where they're really giving him the look. And he stops the speech and really says, excuse me.
What's the problem?
But something changed since this morning. I get the feeling that the Olam is upset at me, that something happened. No, the Gabbai had a lot of guts. And he said, tell you the truth, he said. Something changed. Let me ask you a question, he says to the Rav. Are you by any chance a Sefer? Do you know how to write a Sefer Torah, Tefillin, Mezuzos? And the Rav says, as a matter of fact, I am. So the Gabbai says to him, you know what we heard about you? We found out that you take Sefer Torah to check as a Sefer, and instead of returning to Sefer Torah, you sell them and keep the money for yourself. And the Gabbai told, the Rav looks at him, so the Rav had enough sense to react calmly, and he says, and says to the Gabbai, how do you know this? Where did you find this out from? Did I take Sefer Torah? Where did this come from? So the Gabbai says, I heard it from one of the people right here in this room. I heard it from somebody davening right here in the room. So the Rav says, and tell me, how did you hear about it? He finds out who it is. Says, tell me, how did you hear about it? Do you know that I still Sefer Torah? So the man says, no, I heard it from him. I heard it from somebody else. The Rav says, did you see? Did you see anything like that ever happen? How could you accuse me of doing such a thing? And the man says, no. He misunderstood what I said. I didn't say that you do this all the time, but one time you did it. One time I heard that you stole a Sefer Torah. It wasn't all the time, it's only one time. And the Rav says, how do you know that it happened one time? What do you mean, how do I know? He told me that it happened one time. So the Rav says, and did you see me take a Sefer Torah? He says, no, he misunderstood me. I didn't say that you stole a Sefer Torah. I said you stole a Sefer. And he went ahead and in and on and made it that you stole a Sefer Torah. The Rav says, and how do you know that I stole a Sefer? I heard it from him. And the Rav says to him, and how do you know? Did you see me steal a Sefer? He says, no, you know what happened? This morning after you spoke, my neighbor said to me, it was such a good drasha, probably you stole it out of a sefer. Probably you took the drasha right out of a sefer, and you didn't make it up yourself. It was such a good drasha, you stole it from a sefer.
It's true.
Look, he heard stole from a sefer, and so on and so on, and mushrooms and mushrooms and mushrooms. Okay, that's what happens. That's how Lashon Hara works. Yenim says A, I hear B, embellish it to C, passes it on to D, becomes E, until it's the big Lashon Hara, and it really has no basis to stand on. Okay, but Lashon Hara, be very careful. Even a small thing to say, a person never knows when it spins out of control. And how many stories we hear where when we trace back to the source, how it spins out of control was an innocent little remark, and it just grew. So Lashon Hara is also a remark that could develop into Lashon Hara. A person has to be careful what he says. Parshas Metzora. Same Parshas Metzora, beginning of the parasha, in Perik Yud Dalet Pasuk Beis, Zois Tia Tairas HaMetzora, B'yem Taharasoi, V'hu V'lakayim. This is the din of a Metzora. On the day he becomes Tahar, he's brought to the Kohen. And the Torah tells us the whole procedure that's done. The Kohen takes the two birds, the Shtei Tziporim, the Chayis Kohairois, and Eitz Erez, the cedar wood, Shni Seilas, the Ezoiv, and he shechs the bird, and so on. The whole procedure that's gone. And the Shem Mishmul, this is a fascinating insight, which we mentioned in the past, but a lesson for all of us. The Pasuk tells us in Yudal and Pasuk Beis, Zois Tiyeh, Toiras HaMetzaira. This should be the din of the Metzaira. The word Tiyeh, isn't it an extra? Zois, Tairas HaMetzaira. This is the din of the Metzaira. What is the word Tiyeh adding on that I don't already know? I read the Pasuk. Zois, Tairas HaMetzaira. This is the din of the Metzaira. B'yayim Tarasa, and the day becomes Tar, B'hu Vel Kain. It's brought to the Kain. What's Zois Tiyeh? This should be the din of the Metzaira. What's the Tiyeh adding on that I don't already know? And says the Shem Mishmol, the word Tiyeh is coming to teach us that this should be. This should remain with the Metzaira. The Metzaira should learn a lesson from what happened. Not just this is what we do to the Metzaira, Zois Tiyeh, this should be, it should remain with him. What we do to the Metzaira, the whole lesson of the whole situation that he went through should remain with him. He just had to sit chutz l'machaneh, solitary, alone, he had to tear his clothing, he had to let his hair grow, he had to go ahead and be a Metzaira, the Tomei Yikra, he has to announce to everybody who comes near him, I'm Tomei, stay away. He went through tremendous embarrassment, tremendous mizyonis being a Metzaira. And now he's becoming Tahar. Don't just think it's a process. And you become Tahar and you move on with life. Zois Tiyeh. It should be with you. Take a lesson from it. Remember everything that happened. Mitzvah should remember everything that happened. And this way will help him that next time he has the Yetzer Hara to speak and say Lashon Hara, he'll remember. The idea of the Mitzvah is not so much the punishment itself, but rather to learn from it that it shouldn't happen again. This should be. Take it with you. Take the lesson with you. This should be the tiresome Mitzvah, the Mitzvah. Take it with you and don't forget. The Klei Yochar says later on in Perek Yudal Pasuk Tes, says the Klei Yochar, the Pasuk mentions the Hoya Vayayim Ashvi, and it should be on the seventh day, Yegalach Es Kol Sa'aroi. The Mitzvah shaves all his hair, Es Roisha, his head, the hair on his head, Es Zekono, his beard, Es Gabay Se'enov, and his eyebrows. Es Kol Sa'aroi Glech, and all his hair. The Gemara learns out a klal prat to klal, and that's why the Gemara has to mention specifically the head, the beard, and the eyebrows. Even though at first glance, those are not necessary, because the Pasuk anyway says, all his hair includes the hair on the head, the beard, and the eyebrows. Says the Klei Yochar, the Torah singles out these three parts of a person's body, kineged the three aveiros that a Mitzvah did. Why does a Mitzvah speak Lashon Hara? What brings a person to speak Lashon Hara? Gaiva. A person feels Gaiva, feels superior, I'm better than him, looks down at others, I understand better, I know better than he does, he's wrong, I'm right. Gaiva. That the head represents Gaiva. A person's head, his head swells. Gaiva. So Roisha, the Torah mentions the Mitzvah shaves his head as a kapara for the Gaiva that he had that brought about the Tzaras. His beard. Where does the beard grow? The beard grows around the mouth. The mouth spoke Lashon Hara. As a way of being mechapa for the mouth that spoke Lashon Hara, shave off, clean the area around his mouth. The eyebrows. What about Gabay Seinov? What brings about Lashon Hara? Or the Gemara says, on a mona veira for Saras comes is Sarasayin. A person is stingy. And he looks bad, stingy. He looks bad at others, really. He has a bad eye.
Stingy, not really.
He looks bad at others. He can't fathom somebody else.
Not happy for others.
Right, not happy for others. Can't fathom that somebody else has success. Somebody else is happy. Somebody else has a good. He has a bad eye when he looks at others. So it's like a part of for the bad eye that he had. He has to shave his eyebrows. The Torah mentions these three. Roisha is the corner, Gabasenov, as a kapara for the Mitzayru. The word nega and the word oinig are the same letters, as everybody knows. Nega is spelled nun gimel ayin. Oinig is spelled ayin nun gimel. Nega means a tzaras. Oinig means pleasure. It depends how you look at things. You see the same three letters. If you have a bad eye, nega. You can see something bad. You take the same three letters, you look at it with a different eye, ayin gimel. It's spelled differently, it spells pleasure. All depends how you read, how you look at something. The pasuk says, when the kohen comes and he sees the nega, it says, v'lehofach ha-negas enoi. If the nega did not change, v'lehofach, it did not change. A person's view didn't change. He still sees nega. He can't see oinig. He can't turn around the letters and see oinig by somebody else. He only sees nega. He only sees the bad. He can't see the good. He's not healed yet. He's still at saras. When is a person healed? When he's able to see the oinig, he's able to see good by somebody else. But a person who only sees bid by somebody else, that brings on the tzaras. And our job, these parashiyos, are to learn from here how to overcome the nisayon of speaking Lashon Hara. Not always easy, but looking at the whole picture, you understand that a person has to watch himself what to say, what not to say. Umaisa, starting now, we call the summer's man. Yeshiva still started Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh year is a new aschola. Rosh Chodesh is the beginning. A person can make a new aschala, pick oneself up. Just finished with Pesach, Chodesh Nisan. Let's pick ourselves up. This farm being down Iyah stands for Aleph Yud Resh stands for Ani Hashem Reifecha. I'm Hashem who heals you. Iyah is a month of refuah. Ani Hashem Reifecha. It's a month of refuah. Chodesh Baruch Hu Shnaka, help us. Chodesh Baruch Hu should heal those that need before us. Send Yeshuas to those that need Yeshuas. Parnasa, Hatzlacha. And whenever other bakoshes a person has, the Kosh Baruch Hu should answer, or nu ascholo, shtak obi zeicha, to rise above the nisayon of Lashon Hara, and the schus that, which we zeicha to all the brachas, and together we zeicha to see the shichs came here, may not make.